The historic Dewdrop Inn in Central City is in the midst of a revival. For many years, it was the hotspot in the Jim Crow South, where guests could catch a show, grab a sandwich, spend a night, and even get a haircut. And it was all because of one man, Frank Panier, a barber by trade who knew how to give people exactly what they wanted. On this edition of NOLA Life Stories, we turn to Kenneth Jackson for a remembrance of his grandfather, the man behind the fabled venue.
It was like a kind of social outlet, you know, where if you didn't have anything to do, you could always come to the Dewdrop and somebody would be there. You know, it was like a home base kind of set up for a lot of individuals, you know. Whatever entertainers were in town, at some point in time, they would pass through the Dewdrop. And if somebody was on stage that they, you know, knew or they just wanted to do a number or something like that, they'd just ad-lib and go ahead and join in whatever was going on. So a lot of times the shows would extend a whole lot longer than they were intended to, and it was total daylight by the time the shows ended. I mean, people like Earl King, Irma Thomas, Alan Toussaint, Fats Domino, Ike and Tina Turner, Sam Cooke, James Brown. That's where Little Richard got the idea to wear the hair like he does and the makeup and all that kind of stuff. Some of them were actual residents of the hotel. Ike and Tina Turner were living there at one point. You know, they would come in town and they would be booked at places like the Fairmont and stuff like that, but they couldn't live there because they were black. My grandfather was caught up in the integration thing. The police would find out that they had white people in there and they would round up a bunch of what they called paddy wagons back in the days and come and arrest everybody in the place. And the charge would be racial mixing. My grandfather himself went to jail a few times for that. Also, my grandfather was like a pioneer in gay acceptance. He didn't have a problem with the gay community being a part of the Dewdrop. He caught some flack for that too. But he didn't care, you know, it was just people coming to have a good time, you know. There was a guy that came, he said, I'm trying to find Frank Panier. I said, well, he's been dead for a number of years. And he said, well, he helped me way back in the days. He gave me a place to stay, loaned me money to get a few clothes. He said that he gave me work and I was able to get on my feet. Must have been like $800 or something, the guy said that he figured it out to be. So he went in his pocket and he peeled off, this is a white guy. He peeled off the money and said, here, I always said that whenever I got on my feet, I wanted to pay the debt. He said, because I'll never forget what your grandfather did for me. Integration, you know, folks wanted to go to places that they'd never been, you know, so it kind of took some of the shine away from the Dewdrop. So that, along with my grandfather's health, you know, kind of led to the decline. And then when he passed, my grandmother tried to keep things going, but she wasn't capable. So we basically shut down the nightclub portion of it and the bar portion and just concentrated on the hotel, which kept everything going up until Katrina. It was always an intent of mine to get the club back open again. So now we've got a development company. We've been to the mayor's office. We've been to the Jazz and Heritage Foundation. Everybody's gung-ho getting it back in action. It could really be an asset to the city. And I think maybe in about another year, maybe a year and a half, you'll be able to see something going on down there again.
Down at the two-time.